Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
If Jesus is the creator of all things, every work that I do must be done with his purpose in mind, because the Bible says all things were created through him, but for what? For him, for his purpose.
This week in our series, Knowing Jesus, Pastor Neil teaches on Jesus the Creator. John 1:3 tells us, "Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Pastor Neil shows us that creation flowed through him. He is the channel, the power, and the very reason anything exists at all. And if that's true, then it changes everything about how we live. If Jesus is the creator of all things, then our worship should run deep. If he created all things, then our trust in him must increase. If he created all things, then every work we do should align with his purpose. If he created all things, then we must be secured in our identity. And if he created all things, then our hope is unshakable. Let's lean in as Pastor Neil brings today's message, Jesus the Creator.
This morning we are going to study on the subject, Jesus the Creator. Jesus the Creator. John chapter 1 verse 3, he created all things, the Bible said so. And we're still going to use the same inductive stated method. We're going to observe, we will interpret, we will correlate, and then we will apply. You guys still remember that? All right, I'm just trying to make it easy for you. So I'll read from the King James from my Bible. Then after that, we will read from the NIV. John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now read with me in the NIV. Ready, go. "All things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made." Amen. Amen. So Jesus is not a baby in a manger. He's God Almighty. He's what? He's God Almighty. And we need to come to that understanding, because that is very important. So let's begin with our observation. What does the verse say? It says that Jesus created everything there is. Jesus did what? He created everything there is. And nothing exists that he did not make. Now, we said that whenever we are observing, we must always pay attention to words that are repeated. You all remember that? So we will see from verse 3 of John chapter 1 that there are certain words that have been repeated. Let's read that again. Ready, go. "Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made." So you see that the word "made" is repeated how many times? So that means it's crucial to understanding of the text. All right? And what else is repeated there? Him. So he's telling you that there is a him who made something. And the him we already know is Jesus. And then we will come to understand that the word "made," it's still the same word in Genesis called bara, which means to make. And most often it is not just making out of nothing, but sometimes also making it out of what? For example, he spoke the world into existence out of nothing. But when he came to human beings, we were made from something. All right? So I wanted you to understand that. All right. And so let's try and understand. We are interpretation now, that the word "made" is crucial, and it is the Greek word genomai, right? It has within its understanding the process of becoming something, right? Which includes in its meaning things such as to come into existence, begin to be, receive being, to come to pass or to happen. I'll put it together. So he says, in him, through him, all things were, they came into existence. All things received their being. All right? All things came to pass, so to speak. All things happen. So all things did not happen because there was a bang. Hear me, big bang people. The phones we carry was made by Steve Jobs. It did not just fly into the earth. Nothing in existence just came. Somebody has to make it. And if all the things we see were made by someone, I don't see why you want to tell me that the universe just bang. Even Greek philosophers said that doesn't make sense. And that's why they came up with the word logos. They said somebody made the thing come to pass. And he's the one who holds everything together. And John is still keep pushing it. Through him, all things were genomai. The process of bringing things to pass. Amen. So John is making it very clear that this him, this logos, the one that is eternal, he made all things. So let's go through the scriptures. Let's correlate. Let's try to see if this is true. Are you still in John chapter 1? Look at verse 10. I'll read this one from the New Living Translation. It says, he came into the very world he created. So he reminds us that the word, the logos, Jesus, he came into the world that what? He created. When did he come into the world? When he became flesh. When he was born in Bethlehem. But the scripture says he came into the very world that he made. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created, and for whom we live. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created, and through whom we live. Now, I need you to underline the word, the two words, through him, because it's important. Because there will be some who would say, oh, he didn't make it. So we need to understand something. He says, the Father, God the Father, made all things. By him, all things were created. And through Jesus, all things were created. We need to understand. The word through in this context is the Greek word called dia. And dia means that it is the channel through which something happens. The channel through which something what? Happens. So if God the Father was creating, Jesus was the channel through which the things came into what? Being. So the channel is also part of the creative process. Are you with me? The word dear also means the reason by which something is done. So Jesus is not only the conduit through which creation occurred, but he also is the reason for which everything exists. This means a church that does not exist for Jesus is useless. Because everything is created for him. Your life, you cannot live for yourself because you were created for him. Through him and for? Come on, talk to me. Through him and for? And that is how creation gained its meaning when we exist, not just through him, but also for him. Colossians chapter 1. We'll read three verses, verses 15 and 16, maybe two verses. Are you in the book of Colossians? We are still correlating. We are understanding that he made all things. All things were made through him. He's the channel for it. And all things were made for him. All right. Are you in Colossians 1? Look at verse 15. New Living Translation. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. That tells you that he's not a created being. All right. And is supreme over all creation. Verse 16, shall we go? For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Did you see that? So what I want you to see is that we are not only talking about things that are seen. He created both the seen and the unseen world. So he reminds us that you and I are living in the seen world, but there is what? An unseen world. One is physical, the other is spiritual. One is natural, the other is what? Supernatural. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that the things that we do see were made out of things that we do not see. In other words, the raw materials that was used to create things in the seen world exist in the unseen world. So when God says you're going to have healing in the seen world, it must take place, first of all, in the unseen realm. Are you following me? We are still correlating. We have not started the application yet. So all things were created through him. Dear, he's the channel through which it happened. And it happened for his purpose. All things were created through him and for what? Him. Hebrews chapter 1. We are still correlating. Hebrews chapter 1. So he created the seen world and he created the unseen world. But there is something else he created. We'll come to it. Are you in Hebrews chapter 1? Let's read the first two verses. He says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. This is not part of the lesson, but let me point something out. It is okay for a prophet to speak, but the scripture says, in these last days, God's primary way of declaring something to us is through what the Son is declaring. So word from a prophet is not final until Christ speaks. Did you get what I just said? Because some of us, all our life, I'm waiting. In other words, what the prophet is speaking, they may not lie to you, but their words are not final. When Christ speaks, it is what? Final. And how does Christ speak? Through his spirit, which is the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you. This is why you cannot live anyhow. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance. And through the son, he created the universe. Are you with me? So we're seeing that he created both the animate and inanimate world. And he also created the unseen world, the one that we do not what? See. So Jesus did not only create the physical creation and humans, you and I, but now there is a new creation. Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, because the Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? So salvation is divine recreation. God didn't just create stars and the moon and all that. No, that's the simple one. Then he didn't just create you and me, but then he says, this man that I made originally, that I breathed, I ruach my pneuma into him, breathed my spirit into him, and he became a living being. Something happened and he got mad, but I will recreate him. But he says he recreate in Christ Jesus. Are you in 2 Corinthians 5? We'll read two verses, verse 17 and 18. If you can read with me, please, shall we? Everybody go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, go ahead. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us. In the physical creation, God the Father created through Christ. In the new creation, he does the same thing, verse 18 says, through who? Through Christ. Are you following me? That's that we don't understand. I'll get there. I know the one you are waiting for. We'll get there. Ephesians chapter 2. We are still correlating. So we understand that he creates the physical world. He create both the animate and inanimate. He created me and you. Then when he realized that mankind has been compromised, he recreated us again. Through Jesus again. Ephesians chapter 2. Two verses, verse 8 and verse 9. God saved you by his grace. When you believe, now we are trying to explain the new creation and how it happens. God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Verse 9. Everybody, go. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So no one, none of us can boast about it. It is a recreative act. And today, if you don't know Jesus, he's ready to recreate you. Amen. So we have observed, we have interpreted, and we have correlated. And now it's time to, to apply. Are you ready? If Jesus is the creator, number one, if he's the creator of all things, then my worship must be deep. My worship must be deep because I am not worshiping some ordinary thing. I am worshiping the one after I got mad, had to recreate me again. We worship not merely a helper. He is our helper, but he is not merely our. You are worshiping the one who designed the galaxies. You are worshiping the one who formed your life. You are worshiping the one who sustains every breath. Anybody who is into some level of medicine would tell you that oxygen, how much do you need to breathe in to stay alive? Honey, how much do you need to breathe in to stay alive? Are we sustained by oxygen? Because there are people who have the oxygen bottle sitting there with all the cables going into their nostrils and they are breathing in and they still what? Die. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives us life. So when it is time to worship, worship must not be about songs. It is about the one who gives you what? Breath. In fact, David said it this way in the book of Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, in your presence, I have life. I am sustained. And the way he says it is that worship is actually an act that makes me recognize that God Almighty has given me breath. So he says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what a God. You know how Christians have made worship about songs now? I think I was sharing with my wife that the guy who wrote the song that when the music fades, right, understood worship. He says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, he says, I'll give you more than a song because worship is not the song. The song is only a means by which we worship. And sometimes we make worship about that. So if somebody doesn't raise your song, then it's like, today the worship didn't go because they didn't sing my song. No, you don't need that. In fact, if I had my way, nobody would be standing here leading us. Because sometimes we all have to be part of their worship too. If Jesus is the creator, my worship must be deep. The one who holds the actual breath, the one that you breathe every day. There are people who are now sniffing oil, making sure nobody gets oil in the world. If they had access to breath, guess where we will all be? And God gives it freely. And people like me who snore, I take in more than necessary. You must understand God. I don't want to use the word mysterious, but God is something else. Let me bore you with a little science. How does matter and spirit interface? Because it is blood pumping through your veins that keeps your heart at work. But the blood can still be there and the heart can stop. Because it is not those things that sustain you. Because it is God Almighty, His breath on the inside of you, that's what sustains you. So He is the one who interfaces matter and spirit to keep you where you are. Hear me, you scientists. You didn't create anything. You only discovered. But you have still not discovered that it's the breath of God that keeps human beings alive. When I remember that Jesus is the creator, my worship cannot be ordinary. When it's time for worship, you have to tell the next person sitting next to you, please don't disturb me. Because I am going to worship the sustainer of my breath. It's amazing that when you go to churches, all the women are worshiping and the men think that they are emotional. Most of us men don't worship. When it's time for worship, you don't need a worship leader. You must get into the groove and say, I've come before the one who knew me before I was born. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I pray that you see, sometimes more is caught than taught. I'm teaching it, but I pray that you will catch it. Because when you catch it, you understand that I got to worship this king. This is why it doesn't matter where. Have you ever seen a Muslim ride at the airport and it's 12 noon? He puts the imam there. And the guy is there. Alhamdulillah, la 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 la. Then he keeps going for it. When Christians are about to worship, they're hiding. You got to be kidding me. Creator of all the ends of the earth. If somebody come to ask me, how in the world are you doing this in the middle of the day? He said, I am worshiping the one who sustains my breath. The last time I checked, who is he that told the sea, you can come only this far? Who set the boundaries? Based on gravity, everything that goes up must what? So how are planes sustained? Because God put another law in motion that at a certain speed supersedes the law of gravity. So gravity is not the end of life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Knowing Jesus as creator must transform your worship from routine singing into a greater understanding that you are dealing with the King of all kings. There's a song that I hear in my spirit, but, you know, no. I'll break the religion of trying to preach. I enter the holy of holies. You see, I'm standing here, but I'm entering mentally. I enter to the blood of the Lamb. That is a picture of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies to meet the king. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor. I am, oh Lord, I worship. Are you actually worshiping the one who holds your breath? I worship. I worship. worship you. Lord, I worship you. Worship you. I worship you. For your name is Kadosh. For your name is Kadosh. Number two, if Jesus is the creator of all things, then my trust in him must increase. Did you catch that? If Jesus is the creator of all things, my trust in him must what? Come on, say it with meaning. My trust in him must what? Let's assume that this box sitting here with this side here is a pillar. Without this side, this cannot stand. Do you agree? So if you would view the entire world, including you in it, and Jesus is the pillar that holds this, as a creator, he does not only sustain your breath, but he sustains your existence itself. The Bible says that he upholds. One version says, another version says, he sustains. It's just a play of words. What he's trying to say is that the one who initiates creation is the same one who keeps creation in existence. Did you get that? So, why are you so worried about how your life is going to turn out? If he brought you into existence, who makes you think he will allow somebody else to destroy you? So, if Jesus is creator, you must have that understanding of my trust in him. No wonder Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I give him praise. Because he recognized that it's the creator. If Jesus is the creator of all things, number three, every work that I do must be done with his purpose in mind. Because the Bible says all things were created through him, but for what? For him, for his purpose. So your parenting must be for him. When you serve in ministry, it must be for him. Your business must not be about you. It must be for him. When you create or make something new, it must be for him. When you serve, it must be for him. Number four, if Jesus is the creator of all things, then I must be secured in my identity. Don't say I am a man, woman. You, if you are a man, you are a man. If you are a woman, you are. What color of blazer do I have on? So this is not red? Is this red? What color is it? It's gray. And you know that this is what? If you are blind, at least black and white, we know. Suppose I am dead. Suppose. And they want to figure out that how did I die? So they exhume my bones and bring me back to the lab. And they start working on my skeleton. What will my pelvic tell them about who I am? Because women's pelvic bones are different. That tells you that all the other ones we fight about is cosmetic. It's pure foolishness, plain and simple. If Jesus is the creator, I must be secured in who I am.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.